Hi, friends. Welcome to the Neighboring Well podcast. Here we explore what it means to connect with people around you and how to get better at finding and cultivating meaningful friendships. My name's Kaylee.
And I'm Tiffany.
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been...
We say that a lot.
How many months now? Three?
I know.
Yikes.
It's okay. We're just building up the... What do you call it? Like the suspense.
Anticipation. So. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's been waiting for Stranger Things, so we decided to just jump on that bandwagon.
That's right. We probably should have waited a year to really build up.
It's true. Or several years, right?
Yeah.
That might be a good game plan.
Oh, well, we're back anyway.
So, yeah. Today, we kind of wanted to go over a couple things. Main one is we've kind of been talking about, like, when... we're jumping into the new year. We've got kind of a lot of, usually people do like New Year's goals and stuff like that. But I feel like there's a lot that comes down to like your environment. And I feel like there's a few places that we tend to go to focus or spend time with people. And so mom was telling me about this book she read. What was the book called? Third Places?
I think it was called Third Places. I'll have to look up the exact title and put it in the show notes. But yeah, it was about third places and it was so fascinating. He kind of goes through the history, starts in Europe and England and how people after work would get off work and go to pubs. Like it was just habit.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like you made an appointment or you said, hey, we're going to meet at a pub. You just knew that was kind of your in-between space before you went home or on your way to work. They would go, if you're thinking of France, you know, in their cafes, you would just stop at this place. You'd get your coffee or whatever you're drinking, and then you would do the rest of your day. And yeah. He was talking about the significance of not having that as part of our routine anymore, specifically if you live in the United States, you have to get in a car and drive to in most places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll have some smaller towns where that are walkable, which I love. But he was just talking about missing those neighborhood places. They call them third places because first would be your home, second would be work or school. And then this is the third place where you would meet people that are in your neighborhood. So they're in close proximity to you.
Yeah.
And it wasn't formal. You didn't plan a time to meet. It was just throughout the week, people would come and go. You would see your neighbors. You'd talk. You'd get to know what was going on in their lives. You'd get to know their family, their face. And it was just important.
Mm-hmm.
Now a lot of people we interact with don't live right next to us necessarily, and so you're not kind of building this community.
Yeah. So
just been really thinking about that and wondering, do I have any place like that around me?
Yeah.
That I can consider one of those third places.
I love this idea because I feel like first it helps create some sort of regular like expectation, you know, if, like involving connection. And I feel like that's something we're missing a lot from our environment today is like most of the things, like if you think about your kitchen, there's been this huge trend in design where you want to create a space to gather in your kitchen. Like you want to create, you know, areas people can sit and talk while someone's cooking. And it didn't used to be that way. Kitchens used to be, for a little while, they were just task oriented, you know, versus now people are trying to create these like moments of connection. So I feel like trying to create that in your community is a really cool idea. It kind of reminds me of like, if you've ever seen the show Friends,
yes,
they have like that coffee shop, right? That they always meet at. And that's like their third space. It's like not their apartment. It's not work. It's just like, they always are known to be like at their coffee shop on that one sofa.
It's a place where you feel comfortable, where you don't have to dress up, or you could come to a party and go there, or you could come in your sweats, you know, And I found the name of the book was The Great Good Place by Ray Oldenburg. And once I started reading his book, I actually started finding a lot more books that discuss the same thing based on his theory. And the other thing that was key to these places was demographic, social class, none of that mattered. And that was the important thing. Like, you could have, you know, a wealthy businessman in this place with someone from a lower class, and it didn't matter. You were all just accepted, you know?
Yeah. Different ages. You can have older people, college kids, high school kids. That's really cool. It does make me wonder, kind of, I don't know, my brain kind of goes into two different places. First is, where can we find this, like, in our community? Like, how can we support some small businesses around us and maybe create some sort of, like, normalcy and get a group of friends that you're like, hey, I'm going to be at this little cafe at, you know, Tuesday morning. If anyone wants to join me, that's where I'll be. You know, another thought, though, is, well, I guess I have kind of three thoughts. Another thought would be our workplaces, like creating it in your workspace. There's been a lot of really interesting developments in work, like working from home, working from, like, doing kind of a partial thing where you're remote and then you're kind of in person. And it's interesting because they've started to realize they can't convince people in those, like, hybrid situations. They can't convince people to come in to work unless you're literally feeling like you're at home while you're there. And so what people have started doing is they kind of are creating, like, these third spaces in their work environments. Instead of having, like, just a boring cafe, they've got a little coffee shop kind of look, and you don't just go there for lunch. You go there if you're needing to take a phone call. You go there if you're kind of on break for something. I think it's definitely improved the connection and, like, the camaraderie between teams and productivity when you kind of include that connection, like, throughout workspaces.
Yeah, totally.
So actually, Mom, it's interesting, like, because you're kind of redoing some of your dining room stuff right now. And I feel like you're kind of gearing it towards almost a third place. You're kind of separating it from your house a little bit and making a space for it.
Yeah, I kind of started because we go on trips and our favorite thing, I mean, could be local trips, could be farther away, but my favorite thing is when we go eat to just choose some little cute restaurant that either has sidewalk seating, almost like the Parisian vibe, you know? And so I'd go there and I would love it. And then we had this restaurant that just opened, I don't know, maybe a year ago. Mm-hmm. And it, I can walk to it from my house. It's maybe 5 minutes walk, maybe a little more, but you can easily walk there. And it's this cute, super eclectic, like, chairs and tables, and they have a plant wall and just a fun vibe.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll go there with friends, or sometimes I'll go just with my planner and just sit and think and plan and put down ideas. And I love it. It's just one of my favorite places, but I don't have money to go there all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Maybe you don't have to. When I go, I feel like I have to buy something. Like, I just feel like
yeah,
I go hang out, even though they probably wouldn't care, but I feel like I need to buy something. So kind of in my mind, I just love the feel of these spots. And so I have this room in my kitchen. It's not really in my kitchen. It's kind of connected to my kitchen. That's too big really for a dining room, but it's just connected to the kitchen. So it just kind of is weird. And it's a step down. So it's a level lower. And the actual area for the dining room in our house is too small for a table to fit our family. So we've been trying to think, you know, with your design background and stuff, trying to redesign, how could we make this work? And I just kept saying, I just want a cafe feel. How can we make it like a cafe in there? And so we just built this banquette bench that's one wall has a bunch of windows. And so it's like, I think it's 10 or 12 feet.
Yeah.
And the L's just, you know, a few feet over. So there's like a little L to make it like a banquette. So we did that. And now we're either looking for or going to build some smaller tables like a cafe. Because the problem with banquettes is the person in the middle, everyone has to slide out in order to get in, or if you want to get more food or whatever. So I don't like that about those. And so I thought, if I have these smaller tables, you still are in the same space where you feel like you're eating together, or you could be separate.
Yeah.
So I kind of started like, you know, we were designing this, and right now we're at the stage where we're trying to find what size tables to fit the most people. And then the other night I just couldn't sleep, and I was just thinking about stuff, and I just thought, I'm making a neighborhood cafe. Like, I'm trying to make a cafe in my house. Why don't I just make it like an actual cafe and just say, okay, the neighborhood cafe is open every Tuesday at whatever time.
Yeah.
And just go tell all the people on my street, like just my close neighbors. I don't know all of them. And, you know, I thought, what if I just invite like 20 houses or something, just say, hey, every Tuesday this open, if you want to come, bring whatever drink you want.
Yeah.
Coffee at my house. So, you know, if they wanted coffee, they could bring their own. Or I can have hot chocolate or like herbal tea or whatever. And maybe on a good day, I'll make some kind of muffin or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they could come talk, or they could bring a book, or just like really make it like a cafe and get to know each other better. And I think that consistency will help build our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I'm like super afraid. That's not super afraid, but my thought is, I'm going to take around all these flyers, introduce myself, and they're going to say, what? Like, what? But then my thought was, so what if no one comes? I have this whole hour I've planned to drink a cool drink and read a book.
Well, that's exactly.
Like win-win, you know?
Yeah.
In my schedule, I'm going to plan time. Just downtime. And if people are there, great. If no one comes that week, that's okay. It's still just like me time. And so I think I'm going to go for it. And maybe it'll be like a third space for our community, you know?
It's cool too, because it's kind of like it's only the third space for like an hour every week, you know? Right. It like becomes a normal part of the home the rest of the week. But then like for an hour every week, it becomes like public, you know, which is kind of a cool idea. It makes me want to, ideally in a perfect world, you know, when I'm rich and famous, it'd be cool to have some sort of greenhouse or something, cafe in the backyard or in the front yard or somewhere on my property that people could easily get to.
Yeah.
That could be open for specific hours, just as kind of like a co-working space. That would be awesome. And then I could just use it whenever. But like, there's just something so engaging about that idea of like, this is a space where, and there is like, I've read a little bit about it. Like, there is actually a lot of science behind the third space, because your nervous system doesn't go into productivity mode. Because a lot of times when we're at work, obviously we've got work stuff on our mind. When we're at home, even though maybe we're not supposed to be stressed, there's like a million things that we're trying to, oh, I got to do the dishes. Oh, there's like this stuff going on with the family this week. Oh, there's, you know, and so like home isn't always a space where you can fully let go psychologically.
Right.
It actually takes a lot of training to let go there. And so these third spaces are kind of spaces that you don't have to try to let go of things. Yeah.
Well, and you've planned it into your schedule. And so your brain knows, when I get to this day at this time, I can shut off.
Yeah. Know? Yep.
And I know people are going to say that sounds scary, inviting people into their home they don't know. But if you live in a neighborhood, wouldn't you want to know who you're surrounded with?
And,
you know, if there was any issue or something, wouldn't you want to know that? And
yeah,
I don't know. And I just feel like the fear of what's going on in our world is keeping us from connecting with people.
Yeah.
And I think we just need to let it go. Yeah, there's going to be bad things that happen, maybe even in your own neighborhood, but you can't let that keep you from doing good things.
Yeah.
Right now, so many people just go in their homes, shut the doors, and it's like their safe spot. But that's not what brings joy, what makes community. And I think we need to open our doors more.
Yeah.
And I think if you're one that says, you know, I feel so anxious, I can't do it, just do it in a way that doesn't require you to make a meal or doesn't require you to engage. Like with me, if I'm going to put several small tables instead of one dining table, that automatically sets it up for a one-on-one or two-on-two little conversation.
Yeah, right.
Just the nature of the physical space. So do that. Set it up so that you don't have to be overwhelmed with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
So don't invite your whole neighborhood. Just invite the four people right next to your house. You know,
right.
Whatever you want it to.
Yeah. And that's the thing is I feel like it's helped me in the past. You know, if you're nervous about maybe doing what you're doing like this, a little mm-hmm. bit more like risky, then maybe start with, okay, I'm going to find a friend and we're going to have some dedicated time to just coexist together. Like we don't even have to really talk or whatever. Like we can just like coexist and then see how that goes. And maybe you invite more people. Maybe you invite different people. Maybe you slowly turn it into something more like what you're doing where it's like, okay, this day, this time, if you make it, you make it kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. And it could even be, you know, if you have kids or something, you could reach out to the other neighbor that has kids and say, do you want to just plan every Wednesday at 10, we meet outside and let the kids ride their bikes while we watch
them.
You know, like it doesn't have to be in your home. It just needs a dedicated time and space where you can come and go. Like with mine that I'm hoping to do, it's not you come and you stay for an hour. It's this is a cafe. You come and go as you want. Mm-hmm. You talk to whoever you want or you don't. If you just need a place and you're like I was even thinking maybe depending on if people actually came, do I put a card on a table that says like book space or.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my goal is
to
talk and connect, but maybe someone's like, I'm actually really struggling this morning. I just need to get out of my house, but I don't want to talk to people. Maybe there's just one corner table that's designated as quiet space or, you know,
you're
going to have to evolve as you did it and see what people's needs are, but it could look like whatever you want it to look like. But I would encourage you in the future to welcome people into your home, because that honestly, that's like where real connection happens, I think.
Yeah.
You get to that level, then you feel like you've really got a friend.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that defeats the purpose where you're like, well, that's not a third space. That's your home. It is. But the point of a third space is that there's like people come and go. There's not appointments. It's just whenever that you go. And if you get to that place where you have a friend that could just stop by unannounced.
Yeah.
That's third space. You know, that's somewhere that you feel safe that they could drop by and just say hi for a minute and also be able to say, I've got 3 minutes. Just want to say hi. What's up? Okay. I got to run, pick up kids, you know, where you're not, oh, I've got to plan this designated hour.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that feels daunting.
Yeah.
But trying to get to the place where it's just more fluid and you can have people in your life. I have this one friend, she's one of my best friends and she doesn't live here. But I love because I could be mid conversation talking to her on the phone to catch up and mid conversation say, oh, I got to run. Something happened. Okay. See ya. There's no like closing to the conversation. It's literally, okay, got to go. See ya. Hang up. You know?
Yeah.
And she doesn't get offended. She doesn't, it's just so comfortable that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, I love that. Like I have another friend here that I can call and say, the sun's out, I'm going to go on a walk. If you're free, meet me at this street, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she can say, ah, shoot, I can't make it today. Catch me next time. And that's totally fine. I don't get offended. Like, oh, she didn't want to walk with me. It's just, I just like that fluidity of being able to say yes or no, according to, you know, what works for you, and just getting to know people better.
Yeah, that's actually funny we're talking about that. I had a couple experiences the last couple weeks, just of kind of realizing like, wow, there really are people in my life that I've got more, not even traditions, but like, like rhythms with, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, rhythm is such a good word. Yeah.
And it's kind of, it's really comforting, I think, to have that with people in your community, because it's like, it's something you can plan on and it's something you can look forward to. One example is we've got a group of friends that every holiday that you can blow stuff up, like do fireworks,
blow stuff up,
we hang out. So there's like in Utah, we've got like Pioneer Day, you know, which is basically like a second 4th of July.
Yeah.
We've got the 4th of July. We've got New Year's and, you know, it's like, so it's probably every 6 months we hang out. I mean, we hang out more often than that, but we do like a big hangout where we all get together, we barbecue, everyone brings fireworks, everyone brings food. We sit in the front yard, we talk, we go inside, we go outside, you know, and, sometimes it's at different places. A lot of times it's been at the same place. And I think that is something that I really value is like, it's kind of creating, instead of like a third place, it's just kind of more of like a in time. Like there's like this place in time that you can kind of bank on.
Yeah.
Another one is I've got a friend that reached out and was like, hey, we should make a plan every, you know, so often to just hang out. And if we can't make it, then we'll just skip to the next week. Kind of like you're talking about with your like walk. And yeah. I'm like, okay, this is something I think this is kind of circling back to the beginning of like New Year's and not really wanting to make New Year's goals, but maybe more like make New Year's rhythms is what kind of rhythms can I have that are going to inspire connection? They're going to inspire, you know, more spirituality in my life, more open heartedness in my life. Like what kind of things can I encourage that I can just kind of count on like that? And it definitely seems like the year for that. I've heard a lot of people that are kind of just like looking for that and they've been cultivating it maybe over the last couple years. And it just seems like one of those times that people are really starting to hone in on it.
Yeah. And I think that it seems also to be a trend this year a little bit where people don't want to set goals. Like they're tired of not achieving their goals. And so I like the word rhythm because it's more of what do I want my day to look like? What do I want my life to look like?
Mm-hmm.
And rhythm just feels more soft. Mm-hmm. You know, like a hard, I've got to do this and I have to set this timeline and I have to, you know, it's just like, I really want to start. For example, one thing I was thinking of, when I go on walks, sometimes I'll change the time I go. And I've noticed at certain times more people are out.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe your rhythm would look like the walk I always do, I'm going to change to the time when more people are out so that I can see their face consistently. If I'm saying hi to the same person every morning, I might be able eventually to be like, hey, I'm Tiffany. You know, I see you every morning. What's your name? Where do you live? And I think the consistency of seeing people leads to more of a connection or the possibility of more of a connection. So maybe your rhythm looks like, what could I change about what I'm already doing?
Yeah.
That would lead to more connection. Or how could I include one more person in this thing I'm already doing?
Yeah. And I love the idea of leaving it off at a note where you want to do it again. If you're on a walk, it's like, okay, yeah, you get home and you're ready to get started on your day, but you're kind of like, oh man, I really want to do that again. Like I want to do that next week, you know, or like, you know, if you're having a party some parties that are big go really late, and that's really fun because you're like, man, I want to do that again. But then other like little hangouts, it's like, okay, we have like your cafe. Okay, we have an hour, you know, and maybe, you know, if we're talking, it'll go a little over, but kind of leaving it off at like a, you, there's no scarcity, like this will happen again. We can get together again, you know? And I feel like that kind of encourages a different frame of thinking versus being like, oh, we have to spend as much time as we can now because who knows when it'll happen again. It's like, no, we're going to do this rhythmically, you know, it's going to happen again. And so maybe leaving it off at a point where you're not extremely exhausted, but you're like, okay, that was fun. And I actually feel like I could go longer and hang out more, but you know,
or maybe for me, it's going to look like a definite end time because the time I'm thinking of allows me time to end and I have to run and pick up kids from a class they take. Mm-hmm. And so I actually really like that because sometimes people are afraid, and even me, I have a hard time ending things, especially if conversations going well and it just keeps going later and later. And it's
like, oh, it's getting late.
I don't want to be rude. Yeah. And so if you actually set an end time, and for me, it'll be 1 hour because I have to pick up. And then they know, if you tell them from the beginning, it'll end at this time, I got to pick up my kids. Then when it gets close to that time and you're like, all right, guys, cafe's closing, or, you know,
I got
to run, pick up the kids, see you next week. Then that see you next week makes you not end on a rude note. It's,
yeah.
Hey, see you next week. We're going to get to continue this.
Yeah.
And then you also feel like I'm not taking my whole day.
Right.
You know, to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is interesting, you know, for as far as like third spaces go, I was just thinking about this. It would be really nice to have a space that you aren't hosting necessarily, like, you know, you're both meeting somewhere. Maybe in the summer I'll try this more, like a park or something, because then it's like, if I only want to stay an hour but you want to stay two, that's fine. I'm gonna head out in an hour, you can head out in two, you know what I mean? And so that is kind of an interesting aspect of having just a third space as well, that would be kind of fun to toy around with. Or maybe, you know, for those of you that feel a little bit more anxious about like, oh, I don't want people to come into over my home, I don't want to be hosting, like, third spaces is your solution. It's seems like a pretty awesome, awesome idea.
A true third space, you know, in the sense of this book and others I've read, is a separate space from your home.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find that location that you can just frequent.
Yeah.
That is an amazing option because you're going to see different people there.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be fancy. That's the thing, is like, I've definitely done before where the third space has been like the design library at my school. You know, like I know that I've got an hour in between classes. I go there. Sometimes my friend meets up with me. Sometimes she doesn't. We'll study or laugh or hang out or eat snacks. And then we go off to our other classes. Or I've also had like McDonald's. Like I've met up with several friends at like a McDonald's that's within walking distance from their home. And then it's like, okay, well, I'm going to head out and they'll stay behind or vice versa, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, it doesn't have to be super, even if you live in a town where you're like, there's nothing pretty around me. It's like, go in the backyard, you know?
Yeah. And it's interesting because one of the things they say is usually they're not. Usually they're this tiny little, if it's too fancy, you're not going to get people from all walks of life.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times they are like these tiny little places that anyone would feel comfortable. When I was in college, you're reminding me talking about your design school. When I was in college, we would meet up between classes. The college had like its own newspaper, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We would meet up and we would do the crossword.
Yeah.
I don't know how long we would do it, an hour or something. And we weren't like crossword people, but for some reason it became this competition. And so we would be trying to figure it out. And then we'd meet up on the grass outside the library and we'd work on this crossword and like kind of tease each other like, ooh, I've got this one. You don't have it yet. Or, you know, because we had to go to class. And so it kind of became this informal third place.
Sure. Yeah.
That we, you know, hadn't really planned on but it ended up being super fun. And another bonus was a lot of times it became pretty competitive where we would pass each other in the library in random sections trying to look up words for the crossword.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the bonuses is when you can have a place where you see people and then outside of the place, you're going to run into them casually and now you know them.
Yep.
And yeah. So if you can find a place that's closer to your home so that the people you're seeing at that place are people you would cross paths with either at your kid's school or in your neighborhood on a walk or at a park in your neighborhood, you know, something where yeah. closer in proximity to where you live.
Mm-hmm. Would be
best, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
You know, I always think you have that Park Street Cafe. That's what, 2 blocks from your house.
Yeah.
And it's so quirky and tons of people go there and it's got like random things on the walls and
that place is so cool. Yeah, that definitely has Friends vibes. It's almost exactly like every time I go there, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like that one little coffee shop.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's popping. It's always busy.
If not, you have a park near you too. But I think maybe the takeaway is just we're missing this connection. And this is one idea maybe you would want to incorporate to look for this third place to start going more frequently or create it. If you don't yeah. live somewhere that has, you know, a cafe or library or restaurant or something close to within walking distance, that you just create it.
Yeah.
And I think we can see some big improvements and
yeah. And I have a quote I want to end on.
Okay.
It's from The Lord of the Rings. So shout out to Carly.
Classic.
She's a huge yeah. Lord of the Rings fan. So it says, "It's a dangerous business, Frodo, going out your door. You step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to."
Oh my gosh, that's go. So good. It's true. That's why people go in and out of their garages and don't even use their front door anymore.
Yeah.
But we're going to change that.
Yep.
It's not as dangerous as you think, Frodo.
It might be, but you'll probably have fun. Frodo kept doing it afterwards, right? So you
that's
probably
right. I mean, Sam stayed with him the whole time. So it's there must have been something there. Which really, to end on, is what you're hoping for. When you go through those hard times, you've got someone there with you. You know?
Which means, yeah. And if you really are scared to walk out your front door, so is a wizard. So call yourself a wizard, walk out your front door, go right. do something today, find a third space, find a person to talk to.
You can do it.
You can do it.
And we'll see you next week.